Log Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawahis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from Booger County and mysterious Ozarks in mid-America. And our honored guest this week is Shoshone Elder Benny E. LeBeau Sr. His website is at www.teton-rainbows.com. And on behalf of the entire Prophecy Keepers family, we'd like to give you our condolences in the recent loss of your daughter. I know she's going to be missed. So welcome to the show. Benny, how are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm getting over a slight cold, but other than that, great.
Well, I know last year a lot of folks got announcements about your Grand Teton Medicine Wheel that you were organizing, and so in light of what's gone on in the media, you know, with regards to Yellowstone, start wherever you'd like to, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and what put you on this road, just go ahead and, you know, talk about whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, I'm 54 years old, and I'm from the Wind River Indian Reservation in the center of Wyoming, in the Wind River Mountain Range, and I was raised on a reservation, born on a reservation in 1950, and I've lived there until all my life, until I went to Vietnam, and in 1970 and came back in 74. And then I came back to the reservation as a young boy. I'd been having many visitations by little people, call them the Ninibiat, different spiritual entities on the river, the fairies and Bigfoot and other things that visited me when I was a young boy. And because of things that's going up, gone on the reservations, it's very hard for us to stay in a good, loving, caring way as being young and then coming into, you know, adulthood through the young years and then teenage and so on and so forth as teenagers. But I began to become very angry and hurt at certain ages because of what was going on with the people. And I lost all track of what I was being told at that time by the dwarfs, the little people. And at that time, they told me I had a very important job to do when I had got older, but I had forgotten until a few years back, and then I began to remember. I've been involved within our Sundances and watched them ever since I was a young boy, and the ceremonies that was going on, and the people were in loving, caring relationships more in the 1950s than I could remember that they cared for each other a lot. Came into the 60s, I noticed that the families began to separate, and I wondered what was going on, and I couldn't understand why it had been that way, and cousins weren't close anymore, the uncles, aunties drifted apart, grandpas and fights were happening in the families, and I thought, man, this is not good, and as a child, it was a loving, caring relationship with the people, more than I had ever thought could happen was this turmoil of the people being separated now because of anger and hatred and jealousy and pain and all that they were causing upon one another, and I wondered how it would ever end. And then I looked at all of our children, similar to my age group, who I grew up with, say around 30 people. And I used to be in the mountains a lot. And so when I came back after Vietnam, the people I knew, many of us went to the mountains. We hunted and fished and stayed in the high country above Fort Washakie on our reservation here in Wyoming, and hunted and fished and trapped, and was liked staying up there with all of our friends. But out of those 30 friends over the years, there's probably four of them left. Most of them passed away because of suicides, car wrecks, murder. Many things have taken place with them, and there's only a few left. And then I began starting having more dreams and visions, and I tried to stay in peace with myself and go into the Sundances. But then I had fallen into many dark places and anger and hatred myself, and began to fall into alcoholism and the drugs and things. So then I didn't want to stick around on the land, so I wanted to leave this planet like many of my other people were leaving. But I could never die, and I thought, what's wrong? And then one time I had got so upset, I went out and cursed God, the Creator, everything I had understood that was supposed to be that realm. And that night I had an experience after I came back in on a full moon, and these messengers arrived. And since that time I started getting many dreams and visions, and then my life changed because I was at the end of my rope, I figured, and there was no hope because of the anger and the hatred I'd seen on my reservation. And then things began to come and talk to me, and so I started having dreams, like I said, and then in the Sundance, one time I had this dream in the Sundance of about many Sundances taking place at once, and in the center was one, and then around the outside in a circle, a long distance out, there was other circles, looks like Sundance lodges, I thought that's what they were. And at that time, when this vision and this dream came to me, I was laying outside of the Sundance lodge, and there were many people laying all over the place, sleeping behind sagebrush. And as I was looking at the people, this great big tall spirit came, this giant, and he was bothering the people, and he was picking them up, slapping them around and just doing awful things to them. So when it came to me, I asked him why he was doing that, and he said, because I can, and I can do whatever I want. And I said, you can't do that to the people. You leave them alone. And he said, so he grabbed hold of me and picked me up by my feet and held me way up in the air in my dream. And I looked at him. I said, you're not even a man. You're nothing. And so I reached down between his legs to try to do something to him to get loose from him. And he didn't have any sex organs or anything like that. So I told him, see, you're not even real. When I said that, he dropped me and I started falling towards the earth head first. And I thought, well, I'm going to probably break my neck on the way down. I was falling. And before I hit the ground, I turned into an eagle. And I flew way up into the sky and looked down. When I looked down, I seen a great big huge medicine wheel, one Sundance in the middle. Then I saw around in a circle for long distance was other Sundance in a medicine wheel circle, and in circles. And then I flew into the mountains where I used to go, and I sat by this waterfall and the stream, and then as an eagle, I started to bend over down into the water and get a drink, and then I woke up in Sundance. I wonder, what was this all about? So I went to my medicine people, asked them what I had seen and what this was about, because I didn't understand it, and they didn't know either, and they couldn't tell me. And they said, I guess the time's not right. I guess sometime in the future you'll know. So what it was later, so that was in the 70s, late 70s, and I continued to do more dancing, and there was lots of problems on a reservation, and eventually I had another dream. I had been asked to be a sub-chief in our Sundances by one of our Sundance chiefs on a reservation, so I started helping him for 5 to 7 years in between there, and helping him as a sub-chief in Sundance. So then I started having more dreams again, started coming in, and I got a dream that came from the Grand Tetons, which was our sacred sites, and had been taken away from us, and was now under the control of the Grand Teton National Park. And at that time, the spirit came to me, and his grandfather, and asked and showed me that there was lots of problems in the mountains, in the area all around there, and that they wanted me to give a message to my Sundance leader that there was needed to be a Sundance there, and to vibrate and to pray for the animals and the ancestors. The burials were being found and dug up, and they needed some help in the mountains and the rocks and the trees and rivers and the lakes, and they needed a great healing and a prayer for those mountains. And so those mountains have names in the Shoshone language here, with the people who live in the area, with the Bannocks, Shoshone Bannocks, and the Eastern Shoshones, and the Shoshones as a whole. And so now they were calling for the Sundance. So in 1999, I had this dream, and I called him. He was visiting with some people in Texas at the time, and I mentioned to him about what I dreamt about. So he said he would think about that. And so then he called me back a week later and says, okay, I think this is a good vision and a dream, and the mountains and those things need help. And the spirits has called upon us to do a great ceremony to help them heal up there and to help the area and bring it back into harmony. So we began on that journey, and so we went to the Grand Teton National Park. They wouldn't allow us to use the lands. They allowed us to go in and pray and that kind of thing, but they would never allow us to do ceremonies because we couldn't cut trees and do things like that and have our sweat lodge ceremonies in the National Grand Teton National Park or Yellowstone National Park. So we called some meetings together with the Tribal Business Council, Shoshone Tribal Business Council at that time, in the year 2000, in early January, and called in the Grand Teton National Park and park officials, and they were saying that they needed the okay from the business councils to to give the okay for us to go do what we're doing. And the business councils were not in a great form of helping us at that time because of this vision and dream, and they were asking, well, why are you leaving the reservation? We have everything here at this time. And so they knew that at this time in 1934 through the Indian Reorganization Act that before that time period, the traditional government were the spiritual leaders who kept things under control, and they worked through their traditional ways of keeping people educated in our cultures and traditions to have peace. But now that this new Indian Reorganization Act was coming in to have like a mini United States government type thing controlling our people now, and they came up with the business council, the traditional leaders had put into the, to effect into those bylaws and guidelines saying that when it came to doing anything with the spiritual ceremonies, culture, and traditions, that they had no say-so in those things. And it would be up to the traditional peoples who were doing the ceremonies to make those decisions, and the business councils had no power to either say yes or no to anything, because they foresaw that down the road that they would not be in the ceremonies. And so they had been given those messages and visions at that time, because what was going to take place in the future is what's going on now. The business councils have turned into be Christianity. So they're the Jehovah Witnesses, they're the Mormons, they're the Catholics, Episcopalians. Some of them don't have any belief in anything. And so through that, they would go against the traditional peoples who were doing their ceremonies, and it would go away, and it would be taken out of the tribal nations. And so now it came into play that the national parks wanted the people of the reservation, the business council, and the people to come together to make a decision saying yes to us allowing us to have the Sundance in the Grand Teton National Park. And when they came, we talked with the business council, and the business council told them that they could not make a decision like that because of what I just mentioned, and so the national park left. So then in the regulations and that they have in their national parks is that they will help promote our culture so it wouldn't disappear. But the Grand Tetons was in our treaty saying it was unoccupied lands and they would hold it in trust for us. But through the history, it was taken away from us and adopted by Rockefeller. He bought that land and many other places up there. And now he sold it to the United States for a national park. So therefore, because of those things, we haven't been able to get into the national park to do our ceremonies. And then the next business council comes in, we're getting ready to do another Sundance, and then they come back down and say, we have to have an okay to do a Sundance. But what we've been pushed out of the national park, I forgot to mention, was that we had to go into the Bridger Teton National Forest to do our Sundance now, which was off the edge of the national park by the river up there, the Snake River, Yellowstone Park, and down through the Grand Teton Park is a huge river that runs through there. So we were pushed on the other side of that river, and now we had to go a long distance away, and that's the only place that we could use the areas for our Sundance was in the multiple use areas of the Forest Service. So they allowed us to do that in the year 2000. So we had a hard time with the hate groups that persecuted and many other places that we had been to. Now we were kind of in the crossfire between that with the business council. People didn't understand what was going on up there, so they did not want to help support us. But we did the Sundance anyway. People came and we did that. So we continued to do that. So every year came, we had persecutions by outside hate groups. We had pressure by the Bridger Teton National Forest through regulations. You couldn't cut trees. We couldn't do this, couldn't do that. We had to have toilets. We had to bear certain trash containers that were bear-proof. And so it turned into a great big, huge amount of money had to be paid in order to do a Sundance. And every regulation said we had to have something that we didn't have, and what we had to get then would cost lots of money. So it was almost like pushing us out of the areas because our tribe didn't want to support us. So we had to do the best we could, so we did it on donations. So we went through that. And at that time, the mountains were speaking in the Sundance, and we were trying to do the best we could. So for 3 years, we went through that. And so when 2003 came, I had been asked by my elders now to go to college in 1997 to study the cultures in college and what they were teaching, and why they were not listening to us as indigenous peoples, as Shoshones and other tribal nations. So I, at that time, I was 47 years old, and that was 1997. So I didn't want to go, and I wanted to stay home because I was already walking with my teacher, my brother, and I was learning a lot of things in nature, and we were doing ceremonies in the rock art in the petroglyphs, and they were talking about our ceremonies, the past, how things worked with the earth, and was beginning to gather great information, and I was really loving it, and thought, oh, this is what I've been looking for all my life, and you know, and this is just taking me out of my suicidal thoughts, my sadness, and drinking and partying and all those things I was going through. Was like all of my other brothers and sisters on the reservations.
Well, Benny, let's take a short break, and then we'll talk about that a little bit further. Okay, hang on, just one second, folks. We'll be right back.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some case cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website, with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm a, you know, it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot to, that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you give, take $20 and give a dollar to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not going to you're not going to whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, there's if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, Christ, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimistic. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
And so when we fail from our teachings and our knowledges of being respectful towards one another and knowing that we were told if we're going to cook the food, whoever was cooking the food, the women or anyone for that matter, that their thoughts were to be of love, peace, and harmony, and praying and blessing the food constantly as they were cooking it. If they didn't do that and they had anger and they were mad and upset because something happened, that food turned to those because of the thoughts. And that's how powerful the thoughts were. So our indigenous peoples knew these things of the past. And we had been given these original instructions of how this energy worked. And that was because of the sacred sites that held that electrical magnetic energy. And getting into to doing these kinds of works now was what I was sent to college to understand and study them and try to begin to understand why and what was being taught there, and to come back and talk to my elders and tell them what I found and what I seen and what I saw there and what I had heard. So when I came back and told them, they did not like what I said, what I had told. Come back and reported that in the colleges, and the most of the education systems there's nothing there to help support, protect the earth. They have ecology programs, but they're still not up to par to help and protect the earth, and there's no information there that tells us what happens when we're destroying the earth with mining and development and all the other things. And so through that, we were sending our children into an area that was taken away from the reservation. And besides that, when they came back to the reservation with the education and the things they got, there was very few jobs for them to to support our people on reservation, and that was through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which was another entity that was teaching mining, development, so on and so forth, to the sacred sites, and then the tribal government, and they were supporting mining, oil, and so forth, too. And so there was a very few jobs, but because of the education now, because of the traditional knowledges and the wisdom of the earth, it was being taken away from our people who were being sent into colleges to come back to support the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the tribal business councils, because now that's a mini United States government, and they were starting to take the people and train them and brainwash them into another society to destroy the earth. And the wisdoms and the things that was there was starting to disappear. Now, there were some programs that was trying to help it, but the other power was coming in and overrunning it. And now, within these systems, within the traditional government of the traditional leaders, that was set in motion to keep this wisdom aware, to keep things working, was being separated, and they were not even being asked at all to help bring in the messages and the wisdom of how the earth worked. And I told them that, and so they became upset. That can't be. And so, anyway, it was a hard thing for me to talk to them and tell them that. And they disagreed with me. We were told to get educated. I said, yes, we're told to get educated. But we're being educated and we come back. The education is going towards developing and mining and doing all these other things and not helping us one bit. It's taken away from the earth. So we have droughts up here. We're starting to have tornadoes now and the earthquakes and other things. And so in Yellowstone, these things were beginning to happen because of the dream of 1999 that the mountains needed help up in the Grand Tetons in the Yellowstone area. They were talking about the development and the vibration and the things that was going on in the Grand Tetons and the Yellowstone National Park around Yellowstone Lake, because now there was a caldera, a big bubble, like a cone coming up out of the bottom of the lake and rising 10 stories tall. There was poisonous gases coming out around the edge of the lake. The trees were dying, the grasses were dying, the water was getting hot, and the fish were dying in the lake. The animals were beginning to leave the park too because of the vibration of hundreds and hundreds of earthquake action that was taking place in 2003 going into 2004. And so in 2003 I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, 2002-2003 at the Northern Arizona University studying cultural anthropology and applied indigenous studies, and I was almost ready to get my degree when the spirits came to me and said time was short again, and that I had to leave college and get out of there. I had learned enough lies and these things, and I had to leave, and I told them, no, I'm almost done to get my degree. I quit now, I'll never get my degree. They said the degrees aren't going to count in the future. It's not going to be worth anything, even what's on the paper. I said, I don't think so. I'm going to go against what you're saying. I'm going to get done with my degree. They said, no, you're not. We will not let you rest. You're to leave and go into the canyons, back into the rock art, and into the canyons and the valleys and the deserts and learn what is in the true college of the earth, is the earth wisdom is waiting there for you and for you to go. And I said, I'm going to get my degree, then I'll go. And they said, no, time is short. You got to go now. I didn't listen. So when I was in the classrooms, those spiritual entities came in and bothered me and would not let me concentrate on what I was supposed to be, thought I was supposed to get and write down so I could get my degree, and then I could say, well, I got my degree now, I can do this and do that and say all these other things. Well, they wouldn't let me rest. I went to the library to study the books, to do the reports they wanted, and they wouldn't allow me to really meditate or to gather the information I needed. Then when I went back to my room or my apartment and dorm rooms, they kept me awake all night. So eventually my grades went down because I was so tired. Eventually I said, okay.
They danced around your bed.
So I left. Then I went into the valleys and the canyons in Arizona, around Flagstaff, around the springs. And around the springs were a lot of rock art writings. And so through there they told me where to go to these areas and to do ceremonies and to understand circles. So they taught me about the medicine hole ceremony that now was coming into effect was the same similar thing that we were already doing called the Sundance. It was a huge medicine well that we erect. And now was the time of the womb springs have been, or like the breaking of the waters where life comes from through mother. It's like a baby's being born through a woman, the water breaks and then the baby comes to life and comes into birth. And so now the water springs is the womb springs. It's like the breaking of the sacred water coming from the woman. And it gives us life there and is rebirthing all the time. And what's happening in those womb springs is they're being raped. And so in those springs I went to, they had metal pipes stuck into those springs, plastic PCV pipes. They were putting back holes, gouging those areas, and they're also dynamiting them places and blowing up the womb of Mother Earth. And that alone disconnected the electrical magnetic energy that connects to the water, because water is real sensitive to electricity, and that electricity is what we have, and then when that takes place, it disconnects electrical energy, and then the heartbeat lowers in the area, and then when there's no electrical energy and there's no heartbeat, it's like a man or a woman dies, and they have to take the two electrical, those components, and put it on their chest and shock them back into life. And that's what they were saying that these areas needed, because when the man or woman gets shocked with that electrical shock, it resets the heart, and then the heart pumps, and the electricity goes back into the nerves, which is the wiring system for the body to carry the electrical charge to the body to allow the water or the blood to pump through the body. And now they were showing me that, and that those areas were low on energy, and the heartbeat was low because of mining and development. And around the areas, they cut highways and roads and pipelines and et cetera, oil lines, gas lines, all those kinds, et cetera. All that kind of development. And it was destroying the electrical magnetic energy on the surface, which meant they were destroying the web of life. And that web of life was electrical magnetic energy lines known as ley lines. And those ley lines were being cut in half. And when they cut one in half, that meant the electrical circuiting of grandmother's spider's web of life. Around the earth, there's those energy lines, and they connect to the sacred sites in lines. And so everything is connected and works together in oneness. But now what was happening was the oneness was being disconnected, and every time they cut one of the electrical energy lines in half or did something to the springs, the electrical energy was now leaving. The electrical energy in the area that's connected allows the springs to run, like I mentioned, and also the rain to fall there. When that energy is disconnected there, the rain just passes over the areas, which means droughts, because they destroy the sacred site. And those sacred sites are where there's gold, silver, clay, and all that, and other minerals, copper, zinc, you name it, is out there. And in those areas, it's which holds the ley lines together. And when they develop in them, there's spirals that come out from the atmosphere of above us and connects to those, and that's electrical energy of a spiral. It connects to the places. When they drill for oil, or they cut holes into the earth and take those metals and precious jewels like diamonds, rubies, you name it, out of the earth, it disconnects electrical magnetic energy in that place. That energy that's there is electrical, and it disappears. And then those spirals that are once there disconnected, they wave above the earth. And that's the weather patterns that are changing. They're going back and forth. The animals are flying different directions. They don't know which way they're going because they're going erratic, because those energy lines are now moving and the spirals are up there flopping loose. It's like an electrical energy line, that high wire line, that's the line gets broken. The energy that runs through that electrical line that comes to her house spirals through that electrical line. Once it's broken, that line will fall down and hit the ground, and it will jump all over the place because it's got a spiral spinning through it. It means electrical energy. If it's trying to connect to the one that broke from, if it touches it, then it will stop jumping. So it's like the same thing. So similar when we take down a mountain peak, for instance, with telescopes, observatories, which shave the top of that peak off, that spiral disconnects from there and waves like that electrical energy line and moves. So now when about 20 and 30, 40 and 50 and 100 or 1,000 of those places are disturbed in the area, that electrical energy that's like the electrical energy line is sparking, jumping around, now sparks in the clouds. And then that out of that cloud will come rain and hail. Then out of that will follow that will be a tornado. Spiraling down, all those spirals will tune together, come together and be one. And now they'll hunt on the earth looking for the electrical node point known as the sacred site. And then it becomes destroyed. It'll destroy anything that's there, in other words, churches, houses, anything that's there, trailer parks, etc., like in Tornado Alley. So that's what's happened in the sacred sites, and the droughts are being made because of development. And that's what they showed me in the rock art and the petroglyphs. And that's what I was being showed now, was that education of the earth and those things in Arizona. So I went in a big, huge circle, and they told me to do a certain ceremony in these areas, and so I did that. And so I repaired those places. And so, in 2003, I went and did that in June of 2003 and repaired those places. And the last place I went to was in Page, Arizona, at the dam there, and did the last one that they wanted me to do. And at that time, I saw the energy shoot from the Holy Ones, came from the heavens, and electrified all of those places I'd been and charged them. And then the lightning, the thunder, and the clouds came, and then it rained from June until September of 2003, and filled up all the reservoirs in the area there, because of the ceremonies they had taught me was to go into those areas around in the Hopi lands and the Navajo lands, and I did the prayers on those places. And out there, the indigenous nations are not out into the lands doing the work that they had once did anymore, because they're in turmoil and fighting who's right, who's wrong. And that's what the Spirit said, that now is the time that no one's right and wrong. It's that the people have lost their wisdom because of anger and hatred, of pointing who's right and who's wrong, and that the message had to go to the tribes now. And I was to go into a huge medicine hole ceremony now that was to be 1,200 miles north and south and 1,200 miles east and west. And the Grand Tetons was the center, in the middle, because of the volcano. And if we would do these things all together, and the Spirit said, talk to the people, tell the people that the white people are not going away, neither are the black people or the red people or the yellow nations either, that they're never all going away, because they're all going to be together now. They're to be brothers and sisters, and Mother Earth is calling them back together to come to the sacred sites, 19 of them in the area. On the west was the mountains, and on the east was the rivers. And so I traveled in the end of 2003 now into September, October, and November was coming, and they told me it was time to move and travel to the indigenous nations. And around those indigenous nations and the sacred sites was to talk to them and ask them to come sit on their sacred mountains and do ceremonies and repair those mountains and recharge them like a dead man with electrical charge, and restart the energy and the heartbeat to those mountains, and get them ready for a medicine well ceremony on May 8th of 2004. And this was in September of 2003. But when I came back home and told my people I wasn't going back to college, they were upset that I was quitting, and the tribal people too. And I said, where'd you get all this stuff? I said, dreams. And they were coming and saying these things, we needed help. So I went to my people on our Indian reservation here, and they didn't believe me. They didn't want to help. And most every reservation I went to didn't want to help. There was a handful of tribal nations who helped on those 19 places, but three-fourths of the people that came were the white people. And they were having the same dreams and visions similar to what I was, and even people in England, Australia, Japan, Africa were sending me emails now, because I sent out a message on the harmonic concordance in November that this thing was happening, and I heard about that. So I got in touch with some people, and I sent them a message about what was going on in Yellowstone, and my dream and the vision was for the people to come together. So they sent out messages. And so I went on my journey now, traveling in that huge circle, and had hardly any money. But people started sending donations. And so finally, by about May 1st of 2004, I finally finished the last one, which was in Arizona, in Flagstaff. That was the very last one to do. And At that time, I ran into a man called Dr. Emoto, who was doing a talk there about the spirit of the water on the mesas in Hopi. And that the water had on them, and the springs had no spirit. Dr. Moto has much stuff out that talks about messages from water and things, and so the electrical energy is not in the water, it's dead, and when it's charged with their mind and their thoughts, and it turns back into purity and turns back into crystal shapes. So I talked to him, and at that time the Hopis were with him, and that was, when I first went there, that was April, my first stop, and now I was there towards the end of May, and so he was there again. And I talked to the Hopis and asked them if they could come help, and they said no, they couldn't do that. So again, we used this area called Hopi Springs, which was now in control of the forest. And the Hopis and other people just very seldom go there, and it's kind of like a tourism place where people travel and go in there. And that spring became dry and had a big pipe stuck into it. And so that was the last one we did, and because of what's happened on the lands of cutting and dissecting the land and crisscrossing in Hopi lands, they're doing the same thing out there and destroying the electrical magnetic energy. And I tried to talk about these things, but the tribes didn't want to listen. They thought, who am I? Who are you? What are you trying to do? I said, there's a volcano in Yellowstone and it's ready to erupt. And the scientists are saying if it explodes, it'll be 200 times the size of what Mount St. Helens is, they're saying. It's a super, super volcano. And so there was hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes taking place from January of 2003 going into May of 2004.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osman back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie.
Put it
Osman.
Under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osman, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
Now we're back. So now that this activity was so evident in the national park, and because of my dream back in the early or the late 70s, I talked about seeing this big, huge circle coming together of a Sundance in the middle, and I thought on the outside was many other Sundances, which maybe that still is, but to me it was now. I imaged it and saw it again in my mind, and it was this medicine well ceremony that was now coming forth. So I had seen this image of a huge thing that was put on the earth, and it was a stargate. And so this, they say, what's above is below. So the star systems connect to the mountains and the mountain peaks in the different areas of the sacred sites. And so what's below is above. So that's the connection to the stars that we have. So then I began to get more messages, looking at rock art, petroglyphs, and beginning to understand that there was more to this information than what I really understood, and more things were coming into effect. So I was visiting with many cultures of the indigenous nations and other peoples in the areas of their spiritualities, and that was the same thing that we have, from the Tibetans to the Egyptians to
to Buddhism and now into Shintoism and other places which had the same information that I was talking about. And we once had all had these knowledges and wisdoms, and now it was important for me to see that we were all had this understanding, but now we had fell from our wisdoms and were being taken out by education, and that education needed to understand the importance of the sacred sites. So a senator came to our CWC, Central Wyoming College, here in, on the reservation, and once I asked him about what was wrong, why didn't they want to listen to indigenous nations about sacred sites, and he says, this is information to me that till the tribal nations come together in peace and can come up to an interpretation what a sacred site is and what it means and what happens when it's developed and those things, and none of the tribal nations can do that right now because they have no text or nothing in writing to show that, no proof, and even speak about it. All they say is, protect the sacred sites. And they say, protect the sacred sites because there's burials or altars. Well, that's not good enough for them. They want to know what happens and why it's important to protect the sacred sites. And they could never give that information. And besides that, there was 500 now federally recognized tribes, and they were all fighting each other until they come into to come up with one interpretation of what sacred sites was and what was interpreted to be sacred, then they would listen. But until those tribes quit fighting, they would not pay any attention to them. And in the Constitution, it says they have a right to prosperity, and the earth was put here at their disposal to use for riches. And that's what they would do. And the tribes could do nothing about it until they come into one interpretation. That meant that they're all fighting, and they're fighting over 500 different interpretations of what sacred sites are about. And that's exactly what's taking place because of who's right and who's wrong. And that's what was said in my dream and my vision, was that because of this, what's going on with the tribes, it's the same thing that they all have, but they forgot the importance of what sacred sites really mean.
Well, let me ask you a question here. You said their constitution said that they had the right to happiness, and that they believed that they had the right to develop the earth and so forth. Now, was that the religious belief of the white peoples? Is that what you're saying? Because
it's in the Constitution that says they have the right to prosperity in the United States. That means you could do anything you want to do to become rich. For prosperity. That means you can go out, buy land, do this, do that, and everything we get in America comes from the land, and you have to own the land in order to get the resources out of the land. And so by doing that, that gives the people the power to pillage and rape Mother Earth.
Well, next time one of them brings that up, you might mention to them that the laws of the United States and of Britain are based on the Holy Bible, and the Holy Bible says the time will come that it's time to kill those who are killing the earth.
Well, the time of these prophecies and the vision says that we will stay in peace, and Mother Earth and the Creator God will take care of those things, and it's happening now.
Yep.
And so if we were to stay in peace and not bring sword upon word, bickering and fighting to each other is like two swords striking, and the fight would continue. Until we stop doing those things and stay in peace and come to the understanding what sacred sites are about, and the sacredness and using thought forms and being in peace, then those who did that would inherit the earth through the prophecies and the visions. Only those who would do those things at this time of the powerful end of the 2012 coming, and the end of this world, of this time period, but the earth is not going to be destroyed. The earth will always be here, but man will not be if they continue to do what they're doing. Only those who stay in peace will be here. So people go on and talk about this thing that's happening. So now, you know, we're going into another area, and I don't want to go there because I'm not done talking about this other thing. So because of what the senator had said, set me off to find out what sacred sites were about and learn how they worked, what they were about, and how the electrical magnetic energy that works there is the same energy we have. And so the energy is the matrix in the oxygen in the air we walk through every day, walking across the surface of the earth. And the electrical energy on the surface of the planet goes into our feet, and we're touched by Mother with electrical energy in our feet, and then electrical energy going into the top of our head. We're like little bumper cars in a circus or a carnival that zooms back and forth. So now what's happening, we're just connecting the electrical energy on the surface and making dead zones that was making the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, and so on and so forth, was because of bad sound and bad vibration. Those things were now taking place in effect. And so, with these kinds of knowledges that was being given to me, I begin to see the importance that Mother Earth was in the center of a sat of a, like a nucleus. So it's like the egg of a woman in her ovaries. The electrical energy comes down and spirals into the egg. And then when the baby is formed in that nucleus and it starts splitting and forming, it turns into a spiral. Everything is based on a spiral. And so that spiral is what is connected to the sacred sites, and that spiral goes down to the top of our head, which is called DNA, and goes through our vertebrae down to the tailbone. Then our body forms around it, and the bones and everything else is made and formed. And so those things is what keeps us in to be on Mother Earth. And we're formed, and we're sent here as electrical energy, a spark, through sexuality, and then we came into being through the woman, because of the vibration through sexuality. And so through those things, we came in. It's all about vibration, sound, and colors.
That's right.
And so now those colors and the sound and the vibration is what is being taken from the earth and taken out of harmony. Everything that's in harmony is vibrating with a certain pitch and a sound, and everything is vibrating together. But when a bulldozer goes in there, or a tank, or bad noise, and scrapes the earth like a bulldozer or a tank shooting a missile and blowing things up, takes things out of balance, takes out of harmony. So now all that sound was taking place in Yellowstone, and what happened in Yellowstone National Park was because of these highways and roads and mining and development in certain areas in the past was taking place, it was shaking the earth. And Yellowstone is the lungs of Mother Earth. So when she breathes, the geysers go up, like Old Faithful. When they come back down, she inhales in. And then when she exhales, the geysers go up all over that country up there. But now since the vibration was taking place, what I began to notice in 2000 was that the water was changing in Yellowstone, because I've been visiting and watching and studying the earth there, and it was drying up. And the steam was not coming out in a lot of the places like it was, because the vibration was now shaking the earth and was sealing the geysers underneath the surface of the planet. And that caldera was rising. And why was it rising? Because the cracks had sealed, and now the pressure underneath was being pressurized because the cracks sealed, and there was going to be a huge explosion. There were many people on our reservation having dreams and visions about this, and around the world, and they were coming to me, and even my own people, my daughter who just passed away in a car accident just a few days ago, she was one of the main ones who was having a lot of dreams talking about this and giving this information to me along with other people in my own dreams. And so it was so evident. And they were saying that there was going to be cracks open on our reservation and poisonous gases were going to come out and the winds were going to blow it down on the people and they would die from the gas alone. And many things were taking place. But these were prophecies forecasting what was going to happen if we didn't do something. So it's saying, a prophecy, here's a dream, this is going to happen. If you continue to do this, this will happen. But if you continue not to do that, then that won't happen. So through the prophecies of the people of the world hear these things, they think that they're going to happen, so they say, well, it's going to happen anyway, so I'm just going to do whatever I'm going to do, have fun, raise hell, don't worry about it, and just do the worst they can, for instance, and party and get drunk. And
eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's what they believe in, because they think that that's going to happen. Well, it's those thought forms brings those things into play and will make it happen. And we're saying for our peoples not to think like that. Quit doing these kinds of things that's causing that, called development, mining, war, that kind of sound. And so what's happening on the other side of Yellowstone Lake, on the other side of the world, is the Caspian Sea. And the Caspian Sea is salt water, and Yellowstone Lake is fresh water. The vibration took place in Yellowstone because of the roads that cut into the granite hillsides, and they blew them up with dynamite and vibrated it, and then they put all the buildings and houses and highways and so on and so forth and et cetera and et cetera. That vibration alone, with all of the thousands and thousands of cars now sitting on that blacktop, vibrating every year and shaking it, seals the cracks of the geysers. And then during the winter, they send in the worst vibration of all is the snow machine.
Mm.
And the snow machines are shaking the earth, and all that kind of vibration is not needed in a very sacred site that is not to be bothered and left alone, because it's the lungs, and if it seals, it will explode. And I was being told that we had to do a acupuncture ceremony called a medicine wheel ceremony. 19 sacred sites around the Grand Tetons, which means 600 miles to the north, 600 miles to the east, 600 miles south, and 600 miles west. So that meant 1,200 miles north and south, 1,200 east and west. And so when I went to the people, we got together, and many people went to those places. And even around the world, people were sitting in many places. And on that day, we vibrated the earth for 24 hours, starting with the morning star. And so when we did all of these things, this came into play. And so there was Mount Taylor, there was Mount Whitney, San Francisco Peaks, and then the rivers on the east side of the wheel. Went all the way up into Canada. And so people in Canada and everywhere. And so it was Arizona, Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, and then up into Canada, and back down around into the United States again, into North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas. And right through those areas is the circle. And when we vibrated the earth for 24 hours, the scientists were keeping track with their seismic equipment and scientific equipment, and measured all those things. On May 8th, with their gauges and the things that they had, it showed that the volcano went to sleep and slowed down its activity, and the earthquake stopped in Yellowstone National Park. On June 3rd of 2004, right after the May 8th ceremony, they were having a meeting in Mammoth Hot Springs in Yellowstone National Park, and they were inviting the indigenous nations from the area now to come for a consultation, because they were getting ready to do more development, and it needed the indigenous nations to sign off on what they're going to do. Like, they're going to develop certain areas in the national park for new visitor centers, or new houses need to be built, or roads needed to be rebuilt. So they have to call the Native Americans in to make sure they don't go through a burial site or a sacred site. And so what I understand is those representatives there are not very well trained enough to understand sacred sites. So I went to see what they were going to talk about when I was there. They were wanting to get the okay from the indigenous nations in the area around Yellowstone National Park, which means Montana, Idaho, Colorado, South Dakota, and in the area of the region had arrived there. And they were signing off. And the park was saying, well, we won't do this sacred site over here and develop it. If you go ahead and sign off on this, and you can go ahead and develop over here, we can do this, we can do that. And they were signing off. And I mentioned that we shouldn't sign off on anything. And he said, well, you're not a representative. So, well, I just came and did a ceremony over here with many of our people. And when we came together, we put the earth back together in sacred sound and vibration and repaired it, because of all that's being talked about here is development and doing these things. And we need to look at this and talk about this, and we have to retrain the national parks about what's going on and why this development is taking place and causing this place to blow up over here. We just did this thing and stopped this volcano. And one of the tribal members of my reservation gets up and says, who do you think you are, Jesus Christ? If the Creator says there's going to be a volcano, there's going to be a volcano about it. And I said, it's not that. And then in the many messages it says, prayers can move the mountains. And because of this dream and vision, it came. People who came together and did a sacred sound and vibration through a medicine wheel ceremony, and following their dreams and visions is what we were to do within our indigenous nations. And I came to all of you here in this room and asked you and your tribal nations to help, and none of you came. But now this is the message. And now I'm here again to speak. That it's not anger and hate that I'm saying, pointing fingers. What I'm saying is we have forgotten to understand Mother Earth and understand how she works. And she's calling upon us with dreams and visions. And now our people are so angry and hateful and pointing fingers saying, who's right and who's wrong? And that's what they're telling me, that I'm wrong for doing this because I'm going against everybody's traditions and cultures. And the Creator says, not that. It's that the people have forgotten to come together in peace and do the same ceremony together. It's the same way, but each one does it a little different. But it comes to the same processing and gets it done. And so on June 3rd, when I was there, the scientists were coming with their information, and they put their graphs up on a screen and projected it out, and I showed the earthquakes all the way from January of 2003 into now May 2004. On May 8th of 2004, it showed that the volcano finally lined out and stopped the activity that was once so powerful that they were, well, there could be a powerful explosion. And so that was the dream and the vision of putting this volcano to sleep again, was because of the prayers. And also on the ring of fire that would help alleviate some of those volcanoes in Washington and Oregon and down into California, but they would sputter, but they would not explode. They would implode and go down into the earth instead. But we had to keep working, bringing the information and knowledge about how to bring the rain and the snow and the water back in. And I predicted that the volcano would go away and that the snow and the rain and the waters would come back in once we did the ceremony. And that all happened. And everything that the spirits told me was what they gave me to give to the people. So I was just the messenger. And the people came together. It was they, the people, who did this. I was only the messenger, and we all sat together on that day. And it was a great blessing. And so, you know, I really thank them all for the love that they had for Mother Earth, especially the white people and the black people and the yellow people who came together, and the indigenous nations who helped also. And so the message was that we were to stay into peace and come back into peace. And so, you know, I belong with a group of people called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and I'm a seed carrier of carrying prophecies. And so at this time, I was out carrying prophecies and messages to the people, and then I started having these dreams.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll go on from there, alrighty?
Okay.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Okay, folks, we're back. So go ahead and continue telling us this fascinating story. I know people are going to absolutely love this.
Well, again, as I mentioned, I've been initiated into a group of people, 30 tribes called the Spiritual Elders of Mother Earth, and it was coming together, they say, and when I first met them, of the condor and the eagle, and coming together like the five fingers of the hand. And the prophecies had mentioned that until the nation of America comes into completeness and the tribes come together in peace and harmony, working together with one prayer, one dream, one vision, to help Turtle Island, which is in the Americas, that floats in the middle of the water, this island that we're living on had to come into a sacred belief again, that all of the people understood how the earth worked, how the problems came, the trauma, and it was no one's fault. But the fault was that we begin to follow some directions and things that have been given to us now that was telling us to destroy the earth, and we had forgotten our original instructions to stay in peace. Because of the electrical energy, magnetic energy coming from the sun called the solar flares is being bombarding towards the earth, those electrical grids in New York City and other places were being shut down. So when the electrical energy comes, the animals get hyperactive, and so do the humans. And so the messages and the dreams that were coming now were saying that it was getting close to a time now when Mother Earth was becoming in her cycle. So the 28th cycle of thousands of years now was like a woman on her moon for her 28 days. And so when she releases the flow of her life force, which was the blood within her, the seeds that no longer serve her purpose within her flows from her. And all the illnesses in her blood is picked up in the blood, and then it flows out of her. So she re-cleanses herself and cleans herself through the cycles of life, through the energy of Mother Earth, is the electromagnetic energy that keeps the cycle spinning and revolving within a circle through the 28 days. And so now through the 28,000, you know, the cycles within in the thousands of years, we were in that 28th cycle. And that meant that the emotional life force of the Earth is water. And Mother Earth was going to cleanse herself of all of the seeds that no longer serve a purpose, which means repurification time is here. Any seed pod, human being walking on Mother Earth, which is her seeds, because she gave them to who? The woman is a seed carrier. And so all life that we get is from Mother Earth, so she supports all of us because we are her children. And the Father sent us in from above, the Creator, and brought us to the earth through woman and through man. And woman brought us in, and woman is being destroyed by man's negativity on her and put her into what's happened to her today. And she's been knocked around, beat up. The women are hurting the men. So the men are hurting the earth. So now the message was that through this cycle of water, the spirals will begin to work. So when the tsunami came, what happened with those things over in the area that we just saw where thousands of people died in the India area when that tsunami came, well then that was the first movement of Mother Earth to really wake us up to show us that she is in control and she's going to take out the seeds who no longer serve a purpose. There's many who are doing things because they're rich and famous, so they have all these monies. But in that country, the people have been in turmoil. They've been in war for many thousands of years there. And they're in low thought form. I mean, sadness, loneliness, anger, hatred. They got slavery going on, sexual abuse, sex slaves. So you name it over there. And body parts are being sold, and humans are being sold. So therefore, she's going to take that low seeds out of the earth, low vibrational people, and cleanse them. That means she took their lives. And then they sent them back up. Their energy went back to the white light and was restored back up there. Now she's coming with nature. So it's repurification time now. And so because of these natural forces that talks about Mother Earth is in her cycle now, she's going to clean up the earth. And she will use all the forces that she has in her control and power through Father, the Creator, within the Son, our grandfather. And when those solar flares are coming towards the earth, wherever the electrical energy has been disconnected on the surface of the planet, or a hole has been dug, is where the light is leaking. And the prophecies say that the serpents will wake up underneath the earth, and they will come to the surface, and they will wiggle, coming to the top. When that happens, there will be earthquakes. So where they've built buildings and tore big holes in the ground, is where the light leaks. And when the solar flares and the magnetism of those solar flares pulls towards the earth, the energy underneath where those holes are, where the tall skyscrapers are,
mm-hmm.
and buildings, they will shake like crazy, and all of those buildings will come tumbling down, falling down, and there will be disasters taking place. And these are prophecies of the indigenous nations. Because of the electrical magnetic energy, and every square inch of the earth is sacred because of the electrical magnetic energy. But what has happened, the people have forgotten the cultures and are digging those big holes for the buildings, skyscrapers, or their own houses, or the highways, the railroads, the pipelines, the mining. And wherever those holes are dug is where the light leaks, and when that energy hits, wherever those places are is where there will be powerful earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, floods, etc. That's what's going to take place. Until the people begin to understand that we as indigenous nations, before we dug a hole in the earth or did anything, there was a protocol we went through to do these things. So at this time, the dreams and visions are saying that we have to cleanse the whole earth of the negativity that has taken place and seal those places where the light is leaking. So when someone goes and mines an area and has a deep hole like for uranium and gold and copper, that light is leaking out of the earth, the energy, the electrical energy, and we have to seal those places or we're going to have tornadoes in those areas. So this year we're going to see there's going to be a lot of tornadoes coming in many areas around the country in the United States and elsewhere around the world because of how the earth is being treated and not respected. So Mother Earth is going to wake people up, and a lot of people can perish in many areas. But it's called repurification time. So many people have to leave the planet in order to wake the rest up. But that doesn't mean that they don't get to come back, because they're born forever young. That means their energy goes up. It's all energy, and it just leaves and goes up. But some of them, they're saying, gets to go to the cosmic shredder. They've been so evil they never learned the lesson, so they're just going to discontinue them. The others can be reborn again in many different lights and colors and ways of coming upon the earth again. So there's many stories that goes on with these prophecies speaking this, and there's many of them, and people are reflecting on them probably as I'm speaking in their own cultures and nations. And this is what I was told to give a message was about when these things begin to come into play now, is understanding if we have a house and we haven't prayed for everything in that house, then we need to pray for it and thank the Creator and Mother Earth for it, and to seal the surface underneath the house, because when this energy comes from the solar flares of the sun, and we haven't did those things and sealed the earth, then that's where we're going to have a disaster. Our houses could burn up, they could fall down, the skyscrapers could fall down, and the prophecies say that people will go crazy in the cities. And this is kind of the situation where we're setting, and saying that if we don't do something soon and speak about our indigenous wisdoms and knowledges, that this will take place. But the prophecies say that until the indigenous nations come into peace and work together with one heart, one mind, and work towards the direction of harmony and peace with the earth, that we have to sweep all of the Americas. We got to clean it because of what's happened with our thoughts have went into the trees, our thoughts have went into the soil, our thoughts have went into everything around us. And we were told in the past, if we went to a very sacred place, a peaceful area, when we arrived there, we'd take no weapons, we wouldn't argue with one another, we would all be in harmony and do that and be like that in those places to get healing. And we went into the sacred waters to get healed, to cure us from our illnesses, and we got healed there, our people in the past. Then when they left, they picked up the weapons and then they began to war out there and do those things. And they were never to be into war, but what happened in history was a trauma that happened before the Spaniards came, before, you know, the Spaniards and then the Europeans. And now the Europeans trained us to think like them, and we're forgetting our traditional ways, because the lands have been taken away and put into bondages for mining and development to make money. And it's not understood that it's a sacred lands that we are all to use and work with together and not own it, that the earth owned us. And we're only the caretakers and the ones to watch over those areas. And we're given those areas to live in peace and harmony. So when the Europeans came here, they say in history that, oh, look at these Native American or these indigenous peoples here. They got circles on the ground. Why don't they have carts? Why don't they have all of these inventions? Look, they must be stupid. Well, it wasn't that. It was that they were told never to make these inventions, because what would happen, they would turn into greed, and then they would want to develop inventions and all this and that, and then they would tear up the earth. And what happened? Exactly that. When the Europeans came, and then the other nations came, and then now we have what we have, and we have destroyed the surface of the planet, of the electrical magnetic energy lines and the grids called Grandmother's Spider Web of Life. So what Chief Seattle had once said in his famous speech of the ashes in there, there's a saying that says, what we do to the web of life, we'll do to ourselves. So what we're doing is destroying the web of life, the electrical magnetic energy lines called ley lines, which is Grandmother Spider's web of life. And that's what we have to repair in order to bring this wisdom to the whole world, that we will give this information and teach the whole world about this kind of wisdom into the environmental agencies, into every environmental place. And so, you know, a lot of people are hating Bush. We're not supposed to hate Bush. We're supposed to love Bush and thank him for teaching us all what we're not supposed to do. Not to have anger, not to have hatred, but to stay in peace and keep putting our great thoughts into prayers and saying, bless him, and we're to pray for people who are negative. They say, pray for our enemies, pray for the people who are bad, even those who hurt us. pray for them for peace and not be angry at them and forgive them. And so we have to forgive Bush. We have to pray for him. And I praise him for teaching us all what we're not supposed to do, because he's putting pipelines up into Alaska. He's bombing, shaking the earth. And through their oil, they're destroying the earth. And through other corporations doing things, these are the messages that were to thank them. And the people at a certain point in time would come to the consciousness of saying, oh, this is what it is. Oh, okay, let's get the rightful, peaceful leaders, and these things would happen. Those are the prophecies.
Yeah, you're right. You can't blame George Bush. I mean, he's a man of conviction. He's been taught by his preachers, and he probably hasn't read his Bible much. But, you know, I was talking with Ed McGaugh here on an interview here a few weeks ago, and we were going over Bible verses, and he was saying, you know, he says, you know, he says they believe this Bible, and he says the Bible believes, you know, that gives them the idea that they can put their neck on the, or put their foot on the neck of nature, and I said, well, not actually, and I pointed out a scripture in the Book of Revelation that says that the time would come, you know, to kill those who are killing the earth, you know, so that's and as you know, it's just, if people would read the scriptures and learn to think for themselves rather than reading books that are written by people that tell you how to interpret scripture, you know, we'd all get along a little bit better, I think. So, well, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's what we believe also, that the Bible doesn't have all the information in it, and it's only like it's a history book, but people put all their faith in there. Well, if the rest of the information was in there, what I'm talking about, that we as Native Americans, indigenous peoples around the world, understand this wisdom that we have for the earth, then why isn't it in the Bible? Why is it a riddle in there that everyone has to argue over what's right or wrong? Why wasn't it put in there in simple language saying what I'm saying today, that this is how the earth works? Why isn't it put in there like that? Well, there's one reason. It says that is a text that brings about a man. People came and put that into effect, put people into slavery to allow them to do what Bush is doing and using religion as a way to control people, to put them into the workforce to destroy the earth. And it's the religions who are destroying the earth, because they are the workforce, who are the miners, the developers, the engineers, the scientists, and they're all into religion. But what are they doing? They're destroying the earth. And so the people go right back to work during the week, then they go to church. But they don't understand how the earth works, why the soil is important, the water, the trees, all that. That's what gives us our life. And they're destroying it, just like Bush. And they're saying that they're good people, and in the Bible. And so they believe Jesus Christ was the God of all things. Well, it wasn't Jesus Christ. There were many teachers who came to the earth to give us this information of staying in peace. And he was only just the one man who was manifested here to bring peace and wisdom, but people turned him into some powerful, like he's the God of all gods, when he wasn't. And so they have a hard time with that, so they go into theology and they argue over all this stuff. And if that is true, then why isn't that information bringing peace to the world? Well, it says that something's missing, and it's common sense, and wake up, something's wrong here. What's wrong? What's missing? Something's missing. So the Native Americans say, this is what's missing. So the Native Americans have been trying to give them that message ever since they came onto the shores of the Turtle Island here, of all of the cultures. But the thing is, the Native Americans or the indigenous nations were warring long before they arrived here, for a long time. And they were told, too, to come back into peace.
That's
and
right.
They did. Then here come the other cultures, and they were told to stay in peace, too, but they didn't listen. So now it was put into motion that the Creator says, okay, let's stir them all up in a big pot and put them together and let them bicker and fight, and then the wisdom will come in again, and then they will all become brothers and sisters with the Native Americans and the indigenous nations, pulling them together of the wisdom of how the earth works, how peace is, what the stars are about, what the earth is about, the trees, the rocks, the rivers, the water, all things that would begin to be retrained and re-educated in that. So the messages and the dreams and visions are coming. They're saying that there will be new education, new technology, new government, and new finance for the future. Because we cannot afford, the earth cannot afford to go through the pain and the misery that she's in now. And she's not going to allow it, because she's going to take back her seeds, because she's on her moon time. with her emotional thing she's going through, she's going to cleanse it, and that's what she's doing. So it's called re-purification time at this point. So now through these many forms of things that's going on, it's like the solar flares are coming to the earth, and the messages are, again, saying, when we're in low thought form or in low vibration, the vibration is rising higher on the earth. And what we have been doing now for thousands of years, we've been in the cave of the bear, in chaos and chaotic times. And now we passed that period and we're coming out of the cave of the bear, the darkness, and crossing into a new time period, into the sun. And so now we've crossed over this fine line and came out of the dark side of the sun, or on the bright side of the sun now. And so now, if people notice, the sun is so bright, it's brighter than it has ever been before. So that means bright, white energy, light, electrical energy is bombarding upon us. And that means we'll be inspired inside us to be more energetic. Our thoughts will race faster. Our cleansing in our body, we're going through illnesses are coming to the surface because of the vibration of the rest of the planets in harmony. There's 13 planets revolving around the sun. And then there's one that's not in harmony, and it's vibrating like crazy and out of balance. And which one is it? It's Earth. Why is it out of balance? Because of the people's thought forms of anger, hatred, war, jealousy, pain, rape, murder, so on and so forth. And they forgot the original instructions. They were to stay in great thought forms with their minds, because the electrical energy that we get is in our thoughts, in our head. And I can project my thoughts across the street at someone with anger, and I could hit them, and I could knock them over, and they could feel it. If 20 and 30 and 40 people had those thoughts and pinpointed it towards one person, they could kill them.
Well, we got to take a little break here, and we'll be right back.
We'll see you. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like
dehydrated.
And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put
it under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you
no,
tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction, and importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all... are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease?
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph, before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells. Yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN chief medical correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish
the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. There simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they are largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time, so the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today, and do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs, and I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put them on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase and most importantly the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical, and obviously many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45 who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9 with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.